So this morning, like I said, we are having our Thanksgiving service. It's a thing that we do annually here at Christian Mission Church, where I invite people to come up and share what you're thankful for. But a couple things is, we're here to share what we're thankful for, not so much to teach God's Word, because I know some of you would like to come up here and teach God's Word. If you have a couple quick seconds about it, it's okay, but very quick seconds. But it can be a very encouraging, very inspirational time when we hear how God's moving, what He's doing in our life, and what we're thankful for. Because I'm telling you, we have a lot to be thankful for. And you know what? I got this morning. I'm going to read this. And it's almost a little pat on the back to me. I deserve it, so I'm going to read it. This is from my friend Bill Loveless. He lives in Texas. He met a man named Cy Wood. Cy Wood is Mike Wood's brother. So he met Cy, knew him for years, then he met Mike. Then we had him out at a men's retreat about 4 years ago, I'm guessing. I'm not good with time. Came out and did a great job. He has a ministry called Christ is Life. And he texts me almost every Sunday morning and says he's praying for me. And this is what he wrote this morning. Good morning, Dave. You are the best looking, smartest man. No, that's on me, sorry. That was me, not him. Now, let me say what he said. Good morning, Dave. As I was sitting here thinking about you, especially in light of Thanksgiving, I just wanted to tell you how thankful I am for you. First and foremost, because you are a man after God's own heart. Secondly, I'm thankful that you've been so faithful to your calling in spite of the whippings, beatings, and stonings, of which I know there have been many. Personally, I'm most thankful for our friendship. You encourage me in many more ways than you'll ever know. Your life has eternally impacted mine and my relationship with Jesus. Thank you, dear friend. Love you. We text each other. We'll email. We'll call each other every once in a while and talk on the phone from one weekend on a retreat. And we pray for each other. He sends out emails and I'll text him, I'm praying for you. He'll say what to pray for. He's doing a retreat. He's teaching here. And we encourage one another. And I'll tell you what. I'm at a point, I look forward to seeing his text message Sunday morning to see what he's praying for me. It may sound silly to you, but I look forward to Sunday morning when he texts me. You guys ever just get those texts, just want to remind you I love you? You know, I text my kids, I tell them I love you. Sometimes I'll just say, dude, love you. That's the only text he gets from me, dude, love you. Just because during the day he'll look down and he goes, you know, I'm thinking about him. I love him. You know, I got to tell you that, one, that I am thankful for my family. Because I don't have a perfect family, but I have an awesome family. And with three awesome kids, I have the best wife in the whole world that I'm so grateful for. You guys have no idea what goes on being a pastor and a pastor's wife. And how much stuff we go through with people and how much is put on your plate. And yet I have a wife that God brought into my life who stands with me, who encourages me, who tries to help make this ministry what God wants it to be. And it's amazing. You know, I went to one of my cousin's seminars that he has. My cousin Jim has a mega church up in West Covina of like 15,000 people or something like that. And he said during the seminar, he said, for men who start in ministry as their career, 90% dropout rate nowadays for men who start in ministry. Yeah, only 10% finish in ministry by the time they retire. Everybody else drops out and ends up doing something else. And I'll tell you, you have to have a great wife who's by your side for this ride of what God's called us to do, and I have that. And I want to tell you something. You know what? I'm thankful for you guys, that you're in my life, that you impact my life. And it really encouraged me to say that I was impacting his life. You know, sometimes in Christianity, when we're dealing with people's lives, we don't see instantaneous fruit. But to know that God's working and that we're there for each other and we don't quit and we don't give up and we keep going, you guys just bless me so much. And I just want you all to know that I love you and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm asking for a raise next year, too. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's a total joke. So I want to have an open mic to see who wants to come up and share what you're thankful for. And if someone doesn't come up, I'll just hand it to you. No, I'm kidding. I won't really do that. People will get all nervous. Who wants to share what they're thankful for? You can come up. By the way, I did prepare a message in case no one came forward. Just in case.
I never come up here for these type of speeches. I'm actually very shy when I come up here. But I was going to say I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I'm in God's family, and I have a family to go to, and I'm living in America where we could go to a church. I'm thankful for Pastor Dave and his family. I'm thankful for everyone I know here. I'm just thankful for all that. You know, God is there. You know, maybe family goes a certain way, or, you know, everyone's doing their own thing, and it's nice to know that God reaches down to us. And that's what I'm really thankful for. I'm thankful that I have food on the table. I have shelter. I have a car that drives. I have a job. I'm really thankful. And I just pray for everyone here that, you know, they're always blessed by God, and he's a great God. And that's all I'm just thankful for the things that he gave me.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Bobby. Come on up. Come on up. While I'm waiting for the next. Come on up. While I'm waiting for the next, I'll tell you this and I'll remind you again. You are in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. You may not look at it. You may look at Orange County and you may think you don't have anything. You are in the top 10% of the richest people in the world.
Wow. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that, you know, as I get older and my memory fails, and sometimes, you know, like I'm just like Pastor Dave, I think, well, I'm going to remember this and I'll do it, but I forget all about it. The next thing comes along and I've forgotten it. But I am thankful that I don't have to rely on my head, because God is my head and he's ahead of all of us. I'm thankful that when I look out at you, and when I think of our brothers and sisters around the world, they're not all different, separate people, but we're all one. And just like every cell of our body is different, they're not all the same. We're all different, but we're all one. And I'm thankful that we have one head that we can rely on.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
I just thank God for all the things on the news this lately. Just God can still show you some positive things in the world that are happening if you believe in him and listen to him.
Amen. Even with all the negative news we hear, God is still good news. Amen. That's why this is called the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ.
I'll try not to be too voluminous. God's faithfulness of all the 56 years that I've known him. And I got saved at 16, so now you know I'm almost 72. That's a lot of years. But I have seen him over and over and over prevail in the most difficult situations. And I'm so thankful to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It isn't just a head knowledge. It's a person-to-person, face-to-face, heart-to-heart, dearest friend. And I am so thankful today as I stand here to still be alive on this earth. Most of you know I'm a cancer survivor. And to have the wonderful man that's sitting back there at the soundboard, not Marcy's wonderful man, my wonderful man, Tom, whom I dearly love. We just had 5 months anniversary yesterday.
Wow.
But I'm so thankful, too, that even with things that have diminished in my life, like my hearing, I can still praise the Lord and sing. I can hear the notes, which is an amazing thing. My teaching, God-given talents, gifts, can still be used in the jails, so I don't have to be so dependent on being able to hear responses. I can still share at every Sunday that we go. And Bobby's so faithful, and Chuck and Mo, and Tom, and so many other people that have been involved in the jail ministry. We're seeing fruit like you can't believe. Because, you know, they've reached the end of their rope, and they don't have anything in anyone. They don't know where to go from this point. And you share that they can have a brand new life in Jesus Christ and a brand new road to walk on. Don and Gloria, I don't want to forget you guys. You're awesome in jail. And their hearts are open, and they receive the Lord, and you can see these hardened faces softening and eyes tearing up as they give their lives to Jesus and know that he can make the most crooked path straight. So even though you get, you know, older, don't ever think that the ministry God has for you is going to fade away and die. No, no, he'll just find new places for you, and he'll use what you've gained in the wisdom that you have, and he will increase your knowledge of his love to the point that it's overwhelming, indescribable, uncomparable. He's awesome.
Amen.
I'm so thankful, and I'm so thankful for the body of Christ here. You're so precious. So precious. Some of you I've known a long time. I had the Van Schack son in the fourth grade class with my son Michael, and Mike just turned 35, so we've been friends a long time. Well, praise God for all of you. So thankful.
Amen. Amen. This is the first time I've done this, and we've done this for like 10 years, where normally there are people lined up here wanting to share. So I'm going to give you a little more time if anybody wants to share. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to me. Yeah, that's right. Come on up, Gloria. You can, yeah, you can just sit down here. It's okay. You can come up and sit down so we'll be ready to go.
I'm so thankful for the Lord. You know, I've been in the Lord 60-some years, and it gets seems like it's getting heavier and heavier in the, with the trials, but I want to say God is able to deliver us and help us through whatever we go through, and I'm not going to preach. But I just want to say thank you, Father, because I can put my trust in you. You have given me the privilege to put my trust in you, and that is the most precious commodity to me. We can walk in freedom even when we're going through heavy places. Mm-hmm. God always delivers us. I could tell you, my husband and I could tell you lots of stories how he's helped us. He is so good. And you know, the thing about it is, through those trials, we learn to know about him. And that's worth it. It's every trial is worth it. So I just thank the Lord for the possibilities that we have in him, which his word has shown us. He's got many promises. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. What up, Mercy?
I'll probably break up. Anyway, I just wanted to thank the Lord for this family. Some people's families are very close, like yours. Some, like mine, my brother, families, not so much. I get to see them once, sometimes twice a year. So we're not really close. I've always said that my mom, who passed away 3 years ago, was the glue. But I think it was really the Lord. And I just want to thank God for my boys, who we are close, but mostly for this family and for the gifts that God has given me that I'm able to use here at the church.
Amen. Amen.
I wanted to say how thankful I am for my husband and my children and the gift that I am as a mother, and for the Moms in Prayer Ministry, because I pray each week over my kids and the kids that go to Isabella's school and Juliano's school. And through that gift of prayer each week, I've learned that God answers prayer. That if we just get down on our knees and pray, that he will give you what you want, maybe in his time, maybe in your time. But I've seen a lot of things happen in my time, and I'm so thankful for that. And I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you all for listening.
Amen. Amen. Cynthia. Who's coming up first?
I'm like Cynthia a little bit. I'm politically active. And I like to read education. I'm a searcher. You know, many times I'm blessed. That's my catchword. But what I'm thankful for is what I actually read this morning and shared with some of the people on the email, that the young people today are coming home. There's an article that was shared that the people are tired of the feel-good gospel. They're tired of being told something, you might call them charismatic calisthenics, promises with emptiness. Give me this, pay me this, and you'll get that. And it's interesting that with a change in both the church world, the political world, the world in general, it's the young people that we have labeled as Generation X, the millennials, and so on, that are coming home to him. And when I say him, it's the conservative, the older folks, the people in the smaller churches, because they've been finding that we have a solidity that God has given us that they need. And they are coming back. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for that, because we're here for them. And even though we might be small in numbers, the Spirit of God is great.
Amen.
Amen. And it's something to look forward to in the coming future. There's a change. And praise God, he's in control.
Amen. Amen.
I am just so thankful to God for all of the blessings he's given me, but most of all for the two precious boys that he's given me to love and to care for. And since I came to this church 4 years ago, my life has changed drastically. And you know, I was having a really hard time, having gone through a divorce and everything, and child custody. And it's just from the moment that I completely let go and said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Have it turn out however you want it to turn out at this point. It's completely up to you. You know better than I do. Everything has completely changed. It's like to the point where I can't even believe that it would have been so good at this point, because his plan is so much better than even what I had in mind. So anyway, I'm just so, so thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful to this church. Thankful to Connie, who I never see anymore, but who invited me to come to this church. And anyway, and I just love all of you, and I hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Anybody else want to share? All I heard was self-discipline, and I'll say amen to self-discipline.
This is totally the Lord. Like, I'm really very quiet. But I had to take the time to just thank the Lord for everything he's done in my life and continues to do in my life. Personally, I lost my husband 6.5 years ago, and I lost my identity with him. But I'm very involved in wherever the Lord has called me, I've gone. And I don't know how any of you feel about what's going on in the schools today, but where God has me right now, I want to encourage you to know that there are organizations, and we're involved in them, there are organizations that that are under the radar, they're operating under the radar, that are doing absolutely amazing things in the high schools, in the colleges. And because I'm involved with an organization that it's I'm not, but they are very, very influential. I mean, so much that the White House called and asked us to do something about something, which I can't tell you, but I was in Washington a couple of months ago, and we spoke to lots of legislators, and I left there, as did most of us, feeling frightened by what we hear. Things that, again, you don't know. But what I see happening in our schools is so encouraging because younger people. Our younger people are going to be our leaders. And right now, if you see what I see, it looks really hopeless. But I'm grateful to God that I do know that there is a turning of the tide. We may not get all we're expecting and hoping for right now, but it's happening. And I want to just thank God for that. And I want to thank God for Cynthia. She's been such a wonderful, wonderful friend. And thank you for inviting me here today.
Amen. I'll share a quick word. You can come up, John. I'll share a quick word. If you're like that and you feel hopeless, whatever you're looking at, take your eyes off what you're looking at and put them onto God. Because I don't care what you're looking at, when you put your eyes onto God, you have hope. Because He is our hope. Amen. And I know exactly what you're saying. If you look in the natural, what's going on, it seems hopeless in some areas. Take your eyes off of there. Put them back onto God and see the hope that God has for us. Because He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Come on up, John. Don't sit there. Did you want to share? What, do you want me to throw it to you? Probably bounce right off your forehead, don't.
Can you hear me? Anyway, I'm thankful for a lot of things. First of all, I'm thankful for the 30 years I've been coming here to this church, and I'm really thankful for Pastor Dave. He's got a wonderful heart, you know. And I just enjoy coming here. It's not like... No, I won't get into that any deeper. I'm also thankful of my beautiful wife, who I had down here on Monday Night Football. She has a hard time getting here at church, but we had a good time. And my kids that live with me, Sarah and Rachel. I'm really thankful of Rachel, and I want to update you a little bit on her. She's a type 1 diabetic. She's been that way since she was 2. She's accomplished a lot at school. She's on the choir, who's going to sing at the Sistine Chapel in Rome. She's on the cheer squad. And she just got accepted last week at the ASU. And then we got a letter yesterday, I think it was, that she's been accepted into the Walter Cronkite School of Broadcasting, which you usually don't get in at until your second year. So I'm thankful for all these things, you know, and I'm thankful for all the people in here and the fun we always have on Monday night or Sunday in the church. But this is just a wonderful place to be, and I just wanted to give my thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And also on my, for you that don't know, I had prostate cancer. I've had 2 checks now, and that's the 44 days of radiation took care of it. So,
praise God. Praise God. Along with that, I'll give you an update on my mom. She's only taken Tylenol now for pain. If you didn't hear, she fell a couple of weeks ago. She fractured her pelvis. But she's in a lot less pain. She's still at my little sister. She's staying there. We need to have somebody with her, but she's doing much better and a lot less pain, walking around a lot more, and so she's doing much better. So keep her in your prayers and keep praying for her. Amen. Anybody else want to share this morning? Otherwise, I still have time to share. Come on up, Annette.
I just want to say, first of all, I thank the Lord that I felt his presence here this morning. And Amen. I was looking for a new home church, and I know I just found it.
Amen.
I love it here already. I was thankful that when I walked in, I recognized Dolly from El Sedai. I used to go there, and that was a blessing to me. And I feel so blessed that I got a chance to go to her and her husband's church. I'm thankful for Gloria and Don in my life. I met them through jail ministry, which I've been involved in for 7 years. And I don't know how, but the Lord took all the broken hurt in my life and somehow molded me into this person he could use to serve him, which Amen. Was the heart I wanted, was to serve him with my life. But I didn't know how he could bring that about, and suddenly there it was. And I think that was a miracle, really. It's a perfect fit. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to the Lord for all those things, and, of course, many other things, but just for now, that.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, then I'm going to share from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, do you want me to wait, or do you want me to just tell you what it is? It's short. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always when you're going through the difficult times, when you're going through the struggles, when it gets so difficult that you feel like you can't take another step, when it's so dark you're wondering how you're ever going to see the light again. Rejoice always. You see, we go through those times. We don't like to admit it when we're in them. Most of the time we don't want people to know about that we're in them. But we go through them. Those times that are so dark, that are so difficult for us, we feel like throwing in the towel, we feel like quitting. God's word says to rejoice always. It says in James 1, 2, it says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We're to count it all joy when we encounter various trials. We're to rejoice when we face these difficult times. That's what James is telling us. That's what Paul is telling us, to rejoice always, not just through the good times, but through all times. If we're honest, there are times in our life, probably the last thing we want to do is rejoice. As a matter of fact, if we're honest, many of us go through times, maybe a season, depending how long the season is, where we get depressed or we get angry, and we get so depressed or so angry, it's like, I just want to stay in my depression now. I just want to stay angry. And we don't like to admit that we get there sometimes, but most of us get sometimes where we just like get so angry, it's just like, I'm angry, and I'm so angry, I just want to stay angry. And everything makes us angry, and we respond to it. Or we get so down and so deep and so despondent and so depressed that we're just like, you know what, I just want to stay here, I don't even want to have hope anymore. Satan tries to attack us and go after us. That's why God's word says to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. See, God wants us to be tested so we can get endurance in our lives. That's what I've been preaching about some when it comes to running the race of endurance, the race of perseverance. And how do you get that? You get it by running more and more and more, by going through the trials. When the trials come, we have to keep running. We have to keep going. When the times get tough, we have to continue on, not throw in the towel. But the only way to get stronger and to build up your endurance is to go through the difficult times. In basketball, when I played basketball in high school, we would practice. And when we were done with practice, you had conditioning for a half hour every day after practice. And most of that was spent running, because you had to be in shape. And you had to stay in shape once you got there. You get endurance by going through things that cause you to endure. When you're at Disneyland and life's great the whole day, you don't have to do anything. There is no endurance. It's going wonderful. Rejoice always. Acts 16:25 says this. It says, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Notice who's listening to them. The prisoners. Why? Because they're in prison. They're sitting in prison because of their faith. And yet this is what they're doing. It says, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God." You see, we can have joy and we can rejoice in the middle of the toughest, the difficult things that we go through in life. We can still have that. That's why Jesus said, "The thief came to steal and destroy, but I came that you might have life and that abundantly." Because God wants us to live this life at the abundant level. He wants us to experience this. He wants us to enjoy this life. And the only way to do it is to learn how to do it through the difficult times, because we know difficult times will come. Jesus promised, they said they would come. He said, "In me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer," or rejoice, "I have overcome the world." John 16:33. "In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer." Rejoice during those times. Take courage. You see, courage is to continue on when we don't want to continue on. That's what courage is. It's difficult and we want to quit and we're afraid, but we choose to not let our fear control us. We choose to trust God. We choose to rejoice. We choose to say, "I'm going to have the boldness that God wants me to have. I'm going to continue on." And it makes me think about my brother-in-law, Chris. I told you, the Navy SEAL. He's up in a plane right now. He's flying over to Baghdad. And I don't think he's going there to be in hand-to-hand combat. I don't think that's what he's out doing. I think he's there doing more administrative stuff, but I don't know everything he's doing. But I think about the men and women who are serving our country and those who are in places where their lives are on the line right now. And when war's taking place, and men and women here who have been served our country in war, yeah, and you face difficult times and times that it takes courage. You don't want to keep going. You may be afraid. And yet one step after the other, you keep going and you lead your troops and you keep going. And as Christians, we go through those times. That's why it says, rejoice always. Romans 5:3-5 says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." You know what that means? That means when you face difficult times and you continue to rejoice and you continue to count it joy, yeah, you go through these steps, but you get to a point when you realize how big God is because he got you through that difficult time. And the only way you can realize that he can get you through those difficult times is by going through them. You can't do it by standing on the outside looking in. It doesn't work. It doesn't work when there's a lion's den and you stand out and you see the lion's den. When you're in the middle of the lion's den and the lions are there and God gets you through it, then you understand the power of the God that you serve, who loves you. Rejoice always. I have other scriptures here. You know what? I'll give you a few more scriptures and then I'll go to my next point and I'll be done quickly. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." This is Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it starts with rejoicing. Rejoice always. You see, when we're rejoicing in who God is, when we're being thankful with who God is and what He's done for us, it gets us focused on the Lord. And as we're focused on the Lord and when rejoicing with Him, it starts encouraging us. It builds us up. It gives us strength. It gets us going. And we need that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will be with you and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I want you to see it guards your heart, it protects your heart, who you are, and your mind, where Satan attacks us and goes after us. And this is where he goes and he hits us. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. What does pray without ceasing mean? It doesn't mean that we have to be on our knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, crying out to God. It means we need to be talking to Him throughout the day, though. We need to be just communicating, going back and forth, and talking and talking. And it's funny, on the way here, I was thinking about this. And as most of you know, I have a problem hearing with background noise. So if there's background noise, I have a really hard time hearing people. If it's even after church sometime, if there's a lot of background noise, I just start pretending I hear what you're saying. If it's a counseling situation, I say, what? And I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I just pretend I hear what you're saying. And anybody who has this m'lady knows what I'm talking. You get tired of saying what every single time they say a word. What? 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 And every time they say a sentence, you say what, because you can't hear them. You get tired. After a while, you just start, when people laugh, you laugh. Yeah. People cry, you cry. Yes. With Erin, my wife, like if we're in the car and the radio's on, she starts talking to me, I turn off the radio so I can hear. You know what? With background noise, Erin can hear me just fine. But for me, I have to turn it off if I'm going to hear her. When I talk with God, even if there's distractions and things going on, He hears me just fine. But for me to hear Him, I need to turn off the radio. I need to turn off the distractions. I need to get in a place where we can have a real conversation one-on-one. Because prayer is not only you talking to God, it's God talking to you. So pray without ceasing. Learn to turn off the radio. Learn to turn off the distractions. Sometimes just turn off the TV and have a prayer time. And when you're done telling God what you want to tell Him, always take time to listen, because He wants to speak to you too. That's why it's called a relationship with Him. He doesn't want to just have you tell Him, and He doesn't want to just tell you everything. It's a relationship. Pray without ceasing. Spend time talking to God throughout the whole day. He wants to hear from you, and He wants to hear from you more than just before meals. He wants to have a relationship with us all the time. Because as we pray, we realize our dependence upon God. We realize His presence within, and we realize our obedience needs to be to Him. So, pray without ceasing throughout the day, talking to God. And that means, you know what, you're driving down the road. Even if the radio's on sometimes, just say, God, it's just great to be with you here today, Lord. And just talk to Him a little bit. When you're in class, because you zone out anyway, I know you do. Look at Jules is over there. He's out in Never Never Land. He's not even here right now. It's all good. I understand. When you're in class and you're bored out of your mind and you're not paying attention, take a little time to pray. At work, I'm sure none of you ever zone out, ever during the week. Take time at break. Talk with God. Spend time with Him. Pray without ceasing. And then, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's right. In everything, give thanks. However, I've said this before, it doesn't say, for everything, give thanks. It says, In everything, give thanks. There's a difference. Paul's telling us to give God thanks in everything, not for everything. However, in Ephesians 5:20, he says to give thanks for everything. As a matter of fact, it says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. In and for, there's a difference. You don't have to thank God for the sin that you committed. You don't have to say, God, I thank you for evil. You don't have to thank him for evil, but what you know there's going to be evil, and in evil you can thank you that, God, I know that you're a good God and you have good plans for me. And actually, in Ephesians 5, that word for, the Greek word is hooper, and hooper means, the root word of hooper means above or beyond. So above what you're going through, thank God. When you're in it, give him thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will for you this morning? Give thanks. Paul tells us right here, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So not only this morning, not only this week during Thanksgiving, but every day, we should be a people who are giving thanks. Because that's God's will for us at all times. I've said this before, I don't believe we have to thank God for everything. But I know we have to thank him in everything. So if you consider something really rotten happened to someone you love, I don't say you have to thank God for that, but you can thank God in that. And that he's still there and he's still in control and he's still sovereign and he still has good plans and he still loves us and he still has his promises for us. And as we learn to give thanks in every situation, we learn to be thankful people. And as we're thankful people, we don't have time for the anger that tries to get us. We don't have time for the depression that tries to get us. We don't have time for the despondency that tries to jump on us. Because being thankful and being depressed don't go hand in hand. Just like light and darkness don't go together. Being thankful in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, we ask, Father, that you would give us eyes to see all the different things we should be thankful for. Because, Father, I confess, at least me personally, I take so much for granted. So many blessings I have in so many different areas of my life, and I just take them for granted every day. That's just the way life is, but they're really a blessing from you. So, Father, I pray that you give me eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, the blessings that you bless me with every single day. And I pray that we will learn to be a people who give thanks in all circumstances, Lord Jesus. I pray that as we leave here, that we will rejoice always, that we will pray without ceasing, and we will give thanks in everything. While everybody has their eyes closed, I just want to invite you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to do that this morning, I just want you to stand up and walk down to the front down here of the stage, because I want to introduce you to him. He wants you to learn to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing and to be thankful. If that's you, I just want you to stand up and walk on down and I can introduce you to him. And then, Father, I pray that every person in this room knows you. Father, we will go out because we do know you and because we are thankful of your abundance you've blessed us with. We will share this thankfulness with the world around us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says,